Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Welcome into the Joy Studios. Melbourne recording artist, songwriter and producer, Peter Wilson. Peter, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me. Hello.
Peter, a lot of our guests probably won't know who you are, so we're going to go right back to the beginning.
Way back.
Way, way, way back. Step back in time. You went to Camberwell High School back in the day, the same school that the Minogue sisters went to.
Yes.
So what kind of music were you into in high school?
Oh, ever since I can remember, it's always been pop. The age of four, it was ABBA, then it was Irene Cara, then it was Madonna, then it, you know, then Dead or Alive and Divine came along. I guess I discovered the fine musicians that I like to call them, Stock Aitken Waterman, at a very early age, when I was about 11. So all that kind of stuff, and it's not really changed. So
people are going to be counting back to think how old you are, Stock
Aitken. I'm 37, it's fine. 37, yes.
What captured you? Was it the beats? Was it the lyrics? Was it what you came up with?
I'm more of a music person, and I remember back in the early 70s, I remember I was attracted to chord changes and, you know, very melody-driven stuff. So I guess because SAW did that pretty well. And even Giorgio Moroder, who I love to this day, did the chord changes beautifully. So
now
that's what attracted me.
Done Irene Cara's What a Feeling and Donna Summer. Disco classics.
Mm.
Now, how did you first get started in the music industry then? Like, just woke up one day and thought, I'm going to be in the music industry? What did you do?
When I was at school, I guess I was, you know, I'd always see, at the time, Danny was doing Young Talent Time at the time, and she was on TV every week, and I absolutely idolised her. I don't know if I look like some kind of stalker, I'd be sort of staring, scared to say anything. But yeah, I think that at that time, I would, rather than play sport, I would be in the music room playing the synthesizers and keyboards and playing around with drum machines. So, and then in 89, I decided to go on a TV show that was here called The Early Bird Show, where it was a long kid show on a Saturday morning, and then there was a singing part where you would do a competition and you'd sing, and I sang a Lionel Richie song, and I was terrible, really terrible. But the worst part, I shouldn't say worst part, but the most embarrassing part was Danny came in and she was a judge.
Oh, no.
And, of course, we vaguely knew each other from school. Well, she probably would have seen my face, but I knew exactly who she was. I was terrified, but I was rotten. I was crap. I lost. And then I went and did singing lessons, and then years later, did a few demos and got one played on a youth station about 15 years ago. Hits FM. They were big at the time, back in 94, 95. And they played one of the demos that went really well, led to a record deal, and had a few singles out.
And that was I Wanna Dance.
Yes.
In the early 90s. And you were signed to Colossal Records at the time.
I was.
That song even reached the top 40 in Australia.
In Victoria.
In Victoria. Mm. But still it's a top 40 record.
Yeah.
And you're on your way.
I'm happy with that.
Now, two more singles followed in the mid-90s, Move and Into the Night, and you had videos playing on television, you had a radio play, and you had a record deal. What was pop star life like back then? Was it sort of what you expected?
It was fun. I enjoyed it. I remember doing little promos in Sydney, you know, a week stab at a time, going back and forth, and the guy from the record label up there worked his ass off, really, and had me working every day, back and forth in the morning to different radio stations and interviews. It was great fun. You know, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed every minute of it.
Now, of course, back then you were an openly gay man, but you're told to keep that quiet. How does that sit with you at the time? Was it kind of frustrating, or was it?
I didn't think too much about it. I just knew that, you know, I was, you know, I was told to dodge certain questions, whatever. But I understood it at the time. And then when the questions would come, I'd absolutely freak out. I didn't see much of an issue with it because I couldn't give a rat's ass, to be honest, about it, you know. But then a few years ago, I sort of disappeared for a while. And then I did an interview with an American radio station. And then I just said it. It's not a big deal for me.
Yeah, so you've got to that stage where I don't really care anymore.
It was terrible having to watch what you were saying because I'm such an open person about anything, really. And it was quite difficult to have to watch my mouth because I don't have the diplomacy button in my head at the best of times.
I think there's a few of us like that, aren't there, Jono?
Now, we're going to jump right forward to 2007, Doing Fine, one which got plenty of airplay here on Joy as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how did you get the man behind Boney M involved with that?
Well, that wasn't my doing. It was actually the producer from the UK. They're called PMG Music. They've since done Sunita and a European singer called Amanda Lear, who I've also worked with. Well, we did the demo, or they did the demo. They sent me the sort of final or the 80% finished track, and I loved it. I wrote music for the bridge and we finished it, and then of course we wanted to release it. Come to the time where we had to get permission from Frank Farian and his publishing company. They were sent the track, they loved it, and then surprisingly I'm really happy we got permission to that was cleared and we got it out. And then the track was actually covered by this European singer Amanda Lear as well, and it was on her album last year too, so it's good to hear her singing it.
When was the last time you heard your version of it?
Would have been, I don't know, probably a couple of weeks ago actually.
All right, you're about to hear it again. Here it is from the 2007 album, it's Doing Fine on Joy.
Email
on air at joy.org.au.
You're in the Sound Museum on Joy 94.9 with Leo, Jono, and our special guest, Peter Wilson, who's in studio with us, talking about his career in music. And we're going to play a couple of snippets off his upcoming album very shortly.
Peter, you formed a production company,
T1
Music, with your production partner, Chris Richards.
Yeah.
And you'll be working with some big names from the old Stuck Aitken Waterman days, so like Sunita and Samantha Fox, Sabrina, Princess Haywood. What was it like working with those people that you grew up with?
We wrote for Sunita, but that song went to somebody else, actually, at the last minute. It was a dream coming true to work with them all, really, especially Samantha Fox and Sabrina was great. We did production of Call Me, which I'm so happy with.
Which opened our show tonight.
It did. It did. And then we've also written a song for Samantha's album, which is coming out next year, I believe. So that could be really cool. But yeah, they're great. Princess is actually doing a track now, recording with us pretty soon. Nikki French is amazing. She's just so lovely. She's great. We've written two for her. And the next single is out in February, which is ours, our track together.
And tell us the story. You went with actually Jenna G as well, who did that huge hit in the 90s, just a little bit. You actually recorded a song with her in the studio on a very important day.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I met with her due to a mutual friend of mine, or both of ours, John Collins. He wrote her track, or co-wrote her tracks, Fresh and Give Me Some Love, back on her first album, and we'd worked together when I was quite young. Introduced us, we got along so well, and we did a track called You Rock the Love together. It was about 2001, and then we were actually finishing the final mix on September 11. Woke up the next morning and it was all over the news, so I remember that day for sure.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Now, let's move ahead. You've got a new album coming out next year.
I do.
I believe, which is called Stereo.
Yeah.
The first single from that is on In Music Retail now. We're going to play that a little bit later on.
Yep.
But I thought we should preview a couple of tracks from the album.
Great.
First of all, what can your fans expect to hear from the album?
Well, anyone who knows me knows I'm an 80s freak, an absolute freak. I love 80s pop, and I didn't go into making or deciding to do an album lightly. It was just going to be a one-track thing at the time, but then I got to work with some great people, so we went ahead and did it. So it's basically, there's no ballads, it's all pretty poppy, dancey stuff, and it's very, very much 80s themed. I guess we've taken a slight lean on what Robin's doing with her stuff, but a lot more poppy too.
Now, speaking of this whole Stock Aitken Waterman thing, on your new album, you've got production from Pete Hammond, you've got a song from Mike Stock himself.
Yep.
This must have been a sort of a bit of a dream come true, working with the 80s Hit Factory, wasn't it?
Oh, it was. I used to be a 16-year-old calling up PWR Records every day until someone would take my phone call. Thankfully, Pete Hammond did that, and he was probably the first person to treat me like I was actually an artist. I didn't call without knowing a clue. I knew what I was talking about, and I guess he saw that. So we would be hours on the phone, and he was just so wonderful and so welcoming, gave me some great advice. And then years later, I kind of said, hey, I'm here, I'm going to do an album. Yeah, we did a track, and I'm so, so happy we did it. And then there's also Dave Ford and Ian Kernow from that stable as well. We've done two tracks together. They've remixed the single, and Dave's also mixing another album track now as well. So, but the three of them, they're just such gentlemen. They're great. They're just so nice, so accommodating. I can't say enough good stuff.
Now we're going to play a snippet from a new track. Yeah. This is from the album. This is just a snippet, a taster.
Mm-hmm. It's called Live for Love, and we'll talk about this in just a moment.
That is so catchy, Peter.
Thank you.
Wow. Now, so what was that track called?
That's I Live for Love. Majority of the album that we've done is produced by Matt Pop, who I've done Intoxicated with. I started working with him on another project with a singer we've got called Hayward, who is another artist from the Stock Aitken Waterman stable back in the 80s. You know, she and I get along really well, and we brought Matt in to do stuff on the album, do some mixes, and yeah, Matt's amazing. There's just no attitude with him. There's no nothing except talent and a nice person behind it. And so we did Intoxicated, then I said, well, what else you got? And he came up with some great backing tracks for which I wrote the melodies and lyrics for, and that's one of them. It's probably one of my favourites, that one.
And speaking of Hayward, Hayward herself actually provided backing vocals for your version.
You better not fool around.
Yeah, and here's a snippet of that right now.
I loved it. When Pete sent me that mix, he said, he actually first sent me a one-minute taster. He goes, I think you'll like this, and I hit the roof. It's just perfect. I loved it. And that was one of Hayward's tracks on her album from 86. And I loved it. She knew I loved it. And I said, can you sing on it for me, please? And she did it.
Now, you better not fool around.
Yeah.
It's got any sort of personal connection to those lyrics? Or
no, I didn't write it. That's a Stock Aitken Waterman track. I just loved the track.
I just thought you might have needed to record it for someone.
Not at all.
For someone or something like that.
Of the 10 tracks on the album, 7 of which I wrote or co-wrote, one or two, actually there's one that has very, very personal lyrics, and I'm not normally the kind of person to write lyrics with that in mind, but I did on one. And
romantic, personal, bitchy, personal, or
the first one possibly.
Romantic. Oh.
But the person in question doesn't know about it, so you know,
we might have to sort of read through the lyrics, Leo, and look for sort of hidden messages.
Well, they might, if they're smart. If they're smart, they might work it out. But you know,
now Peter, you've been in the industry a long time. As a recording artist, songwriter, producer, and now you run your own production company. What advice can you give to people out there who want to get started in the industry?
Have a thick skin. And you get a lot of people that ignore you. Like, you'll contact people, you'll get lots of rejection, or when you do get replies, you get a little rejection. So you've just got to rise above it, not take it personally, and just do what you do best, and eventually someone's going to answer you, and then you're going to get something happening.
And what about the criticism, like on the online forums and the internet? There's so much of that going on from artists. How hard is that to take?
The ones that I've been a participant in making comments about artists I don't like in the past, so I know that I've done it as a fan of pop music. But you know what, I've read a lot of the comments about my single and the tracks and all that. 99% of it's great. There's a couple that haven't been great, but you know what, it's part of it. Everyone's welcome to their opinion. If it's constructive, that's fine. If it's anything other than that, and whatever else I say, pardon the expression, fuck 'em.
How much does social media such as Facebook, Twitter and all that sort of help you as an artist in the music industry now? Because you say that obviously it can provide feedback. People can write nice things on your Facebook page, but they can also write utter nonsense.
Well, look, they're welcome to. Look, I think that I'm on Facebook, and also so is T1. They're on Facebook. But like I said, people are very, very welcome to their opinions. Whether they're harsh, whether they're critical, whether they're constructive, whether they're bitchy, whatever. I've done it before, so I would be foolish not to expect it on myself. People's, you're making tragic 80s music, whatever. But the 80s are in. And but if they don't like it, you know what? Don't buy it. So.
Absolutely. Now, you've got a new single which went out online yesterday, and you can get it from your online retailer, Worldwide Online, which is a track called Intoxicated.
It is.
Which you did with Matt Pop.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the background to that.
Well, we just finished working on Hayward's album together, co-produced the whole thing together, really. And out of the blue, Matt sent me a CD just with some instrumental stuff he'd done, because he knew that I'd loved a lot of his work, and he had a lot of his remixes, bootleg mixes on YouTube. He sent it over, and I had it, put it in, played it, and I liked them all. But there was one which was Intoxicated, and I actually can't remember the title when it was instrumental, and it reminded me of all the early 80s Italo disco sound and something really quite current about the electro production. It reminded me of Robin. It reminded me of all that stuff that's out there. And I went, oh, I've got to record it. I've got to do it. And instantly I had melodies in my head and I emailed him. Actually, I called him and said, can I please record this? I've got an idea. If it's going to be shit, then we'll just throw it away. But if it's not, we'll see what happens. Then it turned out pretty well and sent it to Energize, who I'd worked with for the Hayward project and for Nikki French. They loved it. And here we are now. So I'm happy.
Now, I went onto my iTunes account yesterday and downloaded this. And I think it's just been on constant rotation ever since.
It's so catchy, Peter. It's really, really catchy. I'm sure most people would absolutely love this track. So introduce it.
Okay. Well, this is I'm Intoxicated. Came out yesterday.
And it sounds something like this. You're in the Sound Museum on Joy 94.9 with Jono and Leo. Special guest in studio tonight, Peter Wilson. Now, we've just heard your track, Intoxicated. I really just like that, Leo.
We love it. It's now available right now online, so yes. Make sure you get it and support Peter, because it's a great track.
Thank you.
And you're a Melbourne artist, and we like to support local talent.
Melbourne born and bred.
Now, you've brought in an exclusive track for us to play that you actually produced.
Yeah, myself and Chris wrote this. This is actually Nikki French's next single.
Now, for those people that don't know Nikki French, we just have to do this just for a minute. You can talk over this.
Yeah. So Nikki French had a huge hit back in the 90s with a cover of the Bonnie Tyler classic, Toe Clips of the Heart. This went number one all over Europe.
I love it, though. It's great.
I do love it. I saw it do it at Mardi Gras a few years
ago. And even our lovely fine guy, Chris, on reception, loves it. He's dancing away.
Hands in the air.
Yeah, well, that's a good excuse to turn it off. Right. Anyway, Nikki French is making a bit of a comeback, and you've produced a track for her.
Yeah, we've done two, actually. She's coming out with a new album next year. She's right now she's doing stage and doing pretty well at it, too. But I sort of came to Energize with the idea of writing for her, and we submitted a track. And that was actually a different track, which will be on the album. And then the idea came about to write something a little more festive. She's quite big in Brazil, apparently. So I thought, okay, try and get my head into the Gloria Estefan headspace and do something like that. And we came up with In the Heat of the Night. Chris and I did that together, and Chris did the best production on it. I'm so proud of it. And Nikki, she's lovely, and she did a killer job vocally on it too.
Now, this hasn't been played before, has it?
Never. It's actually, I spoke to Energize a couple of days ago, and I said, can we just, you know, I'd met with Leo on Sunday just to talk about the show. Can we play it, you know, maybe give it a bit of an exclusive, because it's out in February, and they said, yeah, why not show? Yeah, sure, put it on.
Okay, so it's never been played before on radio. It's the brand new one for Nikki French. It's called In the Heat of the Night, and you're hearing it here first on Joy.
That's a word exclusive for Joy 94.9, the brand new single from Nikki French.
I quite like that.
Yeah, good. A word exclusive.
Thank you. Bit of a party
Thanks,
anthem.
Peter, for that.
That's all right.
I better give you the CD back now so you can lock it away in the safe until January when it's released.
Absolutely.
Now, thanks very much for coming in.
Well, thanks for having
me. Are you going to stay for the next 20 minutes to...
It sounds like fun, so I think I'm going to stick around.
Yeah, it's a fun show, this, I tell you what.
Now, just give your single another quick plug.
Okay, Intoxicated, it's Builders, Peter Wilson versus Matt Pop, and it came out yesterday on all good retailers online. I'm crap at that. It's got five mixes. Day 40 and Kuno did one. Slee Sisters did another. They did a lot of Steps mixes back in the day. Who else is there? Candy Apple Blue, they're a great American electro outfit. They did a great mix, and Matt also did a good club mix too.
Called The Hell for Leather Mix.
The Hell for Leather Mix.
My favourite line in the song.
The line that was almost changed and ditched.
Which I'm sure plenty of Joy listeners would love that.
Well, you never know.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.